Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, October 23rd, 2018. This is one of those months we have five shows. We got another one next Tuesday.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
But so much bang for the buck.
Yep.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Beautiful full moon out tonight. Beautiful.
So actually, I haven't seen it yet because the sun's still up here.
Yeah. Just when it comes down tonight, when it came down tonight, there was no clouds in the sky, and this gigantic pizza pie moon was
great
up there. It's pretty cool looking. Yep. Well, let's cover a couple of different things. I just wanted to, before we get to the market update, mention we had a discussion last week with regard to the drug pricing. And not drug, you know, drug prices in the commercials that are going to be required by the government, the list price of drugs. And we talked about our theory on that. And the theory was that it was a direct hit against those possible news outlets that have a lot of advertising.
Yes, and, mostly drugs.
Right. And like CNN, for example, direct hit on that one. And it was brought up on No Agenda, but it wasn't flushed out very well, in my opinion, at least.
And that's because that sort of thing should be flushed, as you say, or fleshed.
Fleshed out.
Out as, because it's kind of a stock thing, it seems to me.
I guess. I mentioned it to Adam. I said, Adam, you mentioned it, but I really think it's going to affect it. He goes, that's what I said. And I listened to it like a few times and I didn't hear it. But I do think that the more I thought about it, the more I thought about what a great plan that is just to get right back at it. Because it seems to me that, and even something that happened this evening, you know, that there's this, somebody must have wronged President Trump in the past.
You think?
You know, and
in the past, present, and future.
Yeah. And he's just trying to get back at them. You know, China must have, like, I don't know, screwed him on a hotel deal. Or, you know, CNN is constantly after him, of course. And it's kind of funny how the whole thing comes around. Like, for example, and we'll get off the subject real quick, but how now he's good friends with Lion Ted, who's now Nice Ted.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Anyway, we have I brought that up because we have something interesting up with the, something's very interesting up with the, what he said tonight, which we'll get to. But on the market, things are not looking so peachy.
No, the thing's way down. It's almost breaking the back down to 24,000.
Yeah, it did. It broke 25,000 today, actually.
Oh, did it?
Yep. The Dow Jones was at 24.8 something, I think it was.
No, I missed it.
Yeah. Last week, the markets took a wild ride. We saw things all over the place. It was interesting because at the end of the week, when you tallied it all up, added it all up, subtracted it all down, actually, the markets were up. We had really one day that markets were up dramatically last week, and that saved everything. And I don't remember what the exact news was, but it was, I guess it wasn't, it was something about possibly talking with China again. And things were, you know, got all, everybody got all excited. But again, the same thing happened. We saw some trouble under the surface. Even though the indices held up well, there was a lot of stocks that were getting hit. You know, and a lot of stocks are in a major bear market, down 20, 30, 40%. You look at the, we talked about.
Yes, we've noticed.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, and that's very dangerous. Even for me, like a money manager like me, I mean, it's hard sometimes to pick that out as things on the surface look okay. Because, you know, you're looking at the broad markets, you're looking at trends, and you see one thing, but then you start looking underneath it, and you say, wait, well, that's not the same. So you say, all right, well, maybe that's a sector issue. Or maybe that's a one stock issue. But when it starts piling up, and that's exactly what happened. Well, it just broke. One of the key takeaways from the week was that it seems that banks are having an issue in some regionals with their NIMs, their net interest margins.
Mm-hmm.
And this is important because this is how they make money. It's on the spread. And if you remember, I was throughout the whole 2018, there was all this talk about, well, banks should really have a lot of earnings power because interest rates are going up and the yield curve is widening. Remember that whole discussion?
Yep.
It was such horseshit. We talked about this. We looked at this. We had how many times do we have charts on this?
Lots.
Yeah, and it was shrinking. So one of the banks that came out with earnings last week, in particular, that really hit this right on the head was the Bank of the Ozarks, which I now think changed their name to the Bank of the OZK.
They saw that, get it.
I don't know. That's what they changed the name to.
I thought it was a joke. Sounds like a joke.
Okay.
Like you're setting me up for someone. One-liner.
Nope. Bank of the Ozarks, now Bank OZK. I guess it sounds cooler or something. And everybody's wondering where the hell the Ozarks are anyway.
Yeah. You know, great area, by the way, to visit.
Yeah. What kind of banking, what kind of financial powerhouse could be located in the Ozarks? You know? Yeah. But they saw their net interest margins shrink by a whopping 0.39 basis points, or 0.39%. That was a lot.
I'd say.
Stock was down 25%.
The whole thing is kind of a, the banking thing, there's a couple of charts floating around. And banks are, the thing that's weird is that it's kind of a bull market, but isn't the financials are the ones that are always supposed to lead the way?
Yep.
They're leading the way in the wrong direction. Yeah,
leading the way down. But it's interesting because, and everybody always says this too, you know, we cannot have a rally take hold unless the financials are part of it. They're just a big part of it. The same thing with technology. If we don't have technology doing well, today's technology, in years past, it was much different, right? In years past, we had a situation where technology was like a smaller component.
Yeah, IBM was what you counted.
Right. And what happened today is technology is so much more mainstream and part of everything that it just goes across many different sectors. So technology also has to lead. And what we're seeing is that these banks are really having a lot of difficulty. And we're seeing like home builders, I mean, down 40% on all the major home builders. And a lot of the same things are coming up. And I don't mean to keep on, you know, kicking the same horse here. But, you know, we have margin pressure from one of a variety of sources. You know, it could be either the Fed raising rates, the yield curve flattening. It could be because of input prices. And we see that even though we saw the great tax benefit of everything, can you imagine if we didn't have the tax benefit and we just had the trade war? That would be rough.
I think so.
Yeah. So now today, the Dow Jones was down overnight. The S&P futures were down overnight. NASDAQ, everything's down. Even though China rallied like 4% last, I think it was Sunday night into Monday. And that was because basically the government said, hey, we're going to back you. Don't worry about it. Time to buy stocks. And the markets went straight up. You know, they have more of an edict on the market than they do a suggestion. So, and also their banks buy and everybody kind of gets the thumbs up and everybody starts buying. Well, that turned into, you know, kind of like things were holding up okay here. There was a little bit of slippage. Today, the Dow Jones was rolling over. Then we saw earnings from Caterpillar, which we're going to talk about. 3M, which we're going to talk about. There was a 500-point loss during the day today. And it was almost felt like by the end, it's like, we're only down 125. Felt like a relief. You know, felt like, that was good. Only down 125, not too bad. I think we're talking about markets down like 11 or 12 out of the last 14 days.
Yeah, they only had a couple of big one-day rallies, and then the rest of it was just, like you pointed out, crap.
Yep. And this is that seasonality we talked about to a degree. It should have happened, you know, pretty much the end of September into the beginning of October, which we're a little bit past that now, or towards the middle part of October. And then supposedly the general seasonality trend is, and very in a very strong manner, that the end of the year is, you know, the really good part of the year, because you're getting it to the end, you got performance chasing going on, you have just a whole bunch of things that are happening that are really good. But now we have key technical levels that are broken. I put a chart right there, even though the button looks a little weird. You can click that little blue thing. It works. I'll fix that. This is the S&P 500, and I like to look when we see these kind of situations happen, what the 10-month moving average looks like, because it's usually a pretty good level that holds over time. And as a matter of fact, you can see that it's since 2012, the 10-month moving average only really broke down three times before. We got the one in 2000, end of 2011 into 2012. You see that? We got the one in.
Yeah, I see the 2011, and there's a like mid 15 and 16 a couple times in a row. And it's just pretty much stays on the top of it.
I think the analog that we're looking at right now is the end of 15 into 16, where we saw a drop down into the end of about August, yeah, September.
Yeah, it stayed flat for like a year.
Yep. I think that's the analog we're going to see right there.
Could be. Could be.
Big ramp up into the end of the year, then a drop off 2019. But right now we are under the 10-month moving average. The candle has not closed. We did not close the book on October yet to see if, in fact, we're going to stay under. But this is a signal that a lot of money managers or many technical analysts will look at, the longer-term moving average, such as a 10-month, sometimes 12, but a 10-month moving average as a smoothing mechanism. And you can see it usually kind of bounces off and it rides up and it comes in and bounces off and it, you know, kind of rides in. When it gets too far away from it, it usually has a correction, like we saw you know, several different times when it kind of moves too high away, like at the end of 17, and it corrected into January. So take a look at that. It's over on DH Unplugged, episode number, what is this, 428. So some earnings today, 3M reported, and a major bellwether industrial, right?
Yes.
They missed by 12 cents. Missing's not good.
Not in this day. No. Not in this day and age when you should do better.
Yeah, you should be massaging the analyst expectations. You know, you should be doing all the right things. So now you have, what do we got? We got missing by 12 cents. Revenues fell 0.2% year over year. They're also guiding lower, earnings per share guiding of $9.90 to 10 cents versus $10.28. And their prior guidance, which was 3 months ago, of $10.20 to $10.45. So they're getting hit pretty hard by input costs. Caterpillar actually beat. It was interesting because Caterpillar actually had a good if you just tuned into the line item that came out in the news, the headline that said earnings are $2.86 a share, is a penny better, which was good because Caterpillar has been down and beaten up pretty badly. Revenues rose 18.5% year over year. Pretty good.
Yeah, that's really good.
You know, so things were good, but their outlook was miserable.
No.
But what was interesting was the takeaway notes that I read on, there was like 12 different bullet points that I read from the analyst conference call and the CEO and the CFO's comments. They were all pretty upbeat, saying there was some sluggishness in Europe, but because of higher demand for materials and the costs that are going up, their particular products are in need. So I think you may see a turnaround. I mean, that stock was down from, I think, 160 down to about 119. Not today. I mean, generally speaking, the last few weeks. So Caterpillar getting beaten up. McDonald's had a pretty impressive report. As a matter of fact, one of the only early morning leaders. The stock was up about 5.5-6% today.
What does this mean? Does it mean that more people are eating cheap hamburgers? By the way, the McDonald's hamburgers.
That's interesting.
If you look at the menus, aren't cheap.
Don't they have the dollar menu still?
Yeah, they still have some cheap ones. But if you want anything decent, it's not. You can, if there's a burger joint nearby that's, you know, a mom and pop place, it's pretty competitive with McDonald's. Might cost a little more, but you get everything's better.
I mean, some of these burger places are out of their minds with the cost. You look at a Shake Shack, it's, you know,
$8, $9. Well, there's a bunch of those. We have a couple of them opening up here. Not Shake Shack, but there might be. But there's some other new, I don't have the names.
BurgerFi.
There's a bunch of these hipster.
Yeah, three.
Millennial hipster burger joints. And the burgers are like $8.
Yep. Four Napkin. There's a place called Four Napkins. There's a BurgerFi, which is interesting. There's a there's like two or three other ones. We have a couple of good greasy ones around here, but they're stomach aches wrapped in a bun.
Yeah.
At least for me.
A lot of them.
And they're expensive. I mean, there's one place around here, Burger Stop. It's got the whole hipster thing going on inside. You can get like shakes. You can get like a Captain Crunch spicy shake or something like that. They have these crazy shakes there and boozy shakes too. And the hamburgers, though, are like $12 for a hamburger. Then you got to put the side of fries on. You know, by the time you're done with two people, it's like $60.
You might as well go to a French restaurant.
It's so ridiculous. So ridiculous. But you know what? It's like there are those people in this world that when they get to a restaurant and they open the menu, they believe that whatever the most expensive thing is on the menu has to be the best. You know,
yes,
those people.
I know those people too.
Yeah. The Fed looks like it's still on track to raise rates on their current trajectory. Goldman came out last week. I don't know if they're trying to push the market down or just freak people out, or I don't know what they're trying to do here, but they predicted the Fed will actually raise rates 5 more times through the end of 2019. Do you think that's possible?
Well, yeah, I think it's very possible. I don't know why they do it, but it's possible. Won't they just drop a point on it? You know, just do something just like
done,
major.
Just be done with it, right?
Yeah.
Just whack the markets.
None of this 0.25. This is a whole point. Boom.
That'd be tough. But I guess if they did it, well, I guess they could do it 4 more times next year. But there was no belief that they would do it before December of this year. And there was a high probability, something like 90-something percent, that the December meeting will have another rate hike. So that will complete, I believe, 3 this year. And then the expectation was for 3 more through next year. And they're out of the wait and see discussion. They're kind of like, yeah, we're doing this. Don't forget, one of the things that I think is smart for them to do is to raise rates to a degree, because if you think about it, if we stayed at these really low interest rates, and if in fact everything was the same, and if we saw a slowdown occur, they have no ammunition to really combat that.
That's the argument.
So they need to get it.
I've heard it.
Yeah. And in the thanks Obama category, with regard to the Fed, President Trump is, I guess I'll take a word from you, grousing. You haven't used that word in a while.
Yeah.
Grousing.
It's a good word.
Yeah. He's grousing that and directly accusing Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell of endangering the U.S. economy by raising interest rates. An article from the Wall Street Journal tonight, he said, I'm just saying this. I'm very unhappy with the Fed because Obama had zero interest rates.
Yeah.
He told the Journal, every time we do something great, he raises the interest rates.
Yeah. Yeah, you saw that Yellen came out and condemned Trump for doing this.
Oh, I didn't say that. No, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that little sweetheart.
She said it's dangerous to be messing around with the Fed like that. And she goes on and on. It condemned him.
I think the problem is, by him doing this, it changes the mindset of the Fed to the degree that they don't want to appear to be anything but independent. And if they see this, and if they decide to stop for whatever reason and change their plan, they have to take a double take on it and say, wait a second, is it going to be perceived that we're being pushed around by Trump? Therefore, our independence is at risk, at least from a confidence standpoint of the
markets. No, I agree with you. I think it's a psychological thing.
It's very bad.
And Trump may be doing it on purpose for all we know.
So then he would want them to raise rates. Is that what he's doing? Because it's going to force their hand, in other words, to go against what he says, to appear that they don't have any political reasoning to do so.
Yeah, it could be. Then he could blame the Democrats.
Ah, interesting.
Well, I mean, it's possible.
Anything's possible.
I think the guy does a lot more conniving than he's given credit for. Everyone just thinks he's a big dummy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he finally seemed to have come into the realization that maybe something underhanded went on in Saudi Arabia with the killing of the journalist whose name is very difficult to pronounce.
Khashoggi.
Are you sure of this?
I don't care. That's how I'm pronouncing it.
That's what you're saying, Khashoggi. So yeah, this and supposedly there was a story. I don't know if this was confirmed, but I'm sure you'll talk about it on No Agenda on Thursday, 12 p.m. in the afternoon at noagendastream.com live. They found the remains in some guy's garden. Did you hear this?
No.
Oh, yes. There's a story going around that one of the Saudi consulates at his home, they found remains in his garden buried.
Whose garden?
At one of the Saudi consulates from Turkey. You know, at the consulate, the guy that works at the consulate. Where it all happened.
Oh, jeez.
You got to look that up.
I don't believe half these stories.
I found that one very hard to believe myself. It just was, it was too, but anyway, now all of a sudden.
He turned up in a bag of mulch.
Now all of a sudden, you know, we believe this and there's really a problem. And now there was going to be severe penalties. Now this goes, ties right into our discussion of what's going on with oil prices. It seems to me one of the things that happened, the backlash from all this was what? That this Davos in the desert, this technology summit and economic summit that was taking place in Saudi Arabia, and it was billed as the Davos in the desert.
Yes, Davos in the desert.
Right. So a lot of people backed out. Mnuchin wasn't going. A lot of companies aren't going. Several countries said, screw that, I'm not going. So...
Well, I think it'd be one of those things where you'd have any excuse you could find not to go. I would take advantage of it. You know what it's like in that part of the world at this time of the year, or actually any time of year?
It's hot.
It's hot.
Well, it's hot. It's a desert, yes.
And there's not a lot of drinking, so it's not like a drinking club like Davos is.
Well, Davos is freezing on the other hand. It's the other side. It's the other side of the equation. But you're inside.
Yeah, but
you're
people not like to go skiing. It's all skiers that go to
Davos.
They
have skiing in – oh, that's Dubai. They're skiing, indoor skiing in Dubai. But so all these people pulled out, and now all of a sudden there was a $50 billion contract was awarded to blah, 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 and, you know, this and that. And, you know, don't forget, President Trump was talking about, you know what, you're really going to – you know, we want to really do something. We don't want to lose those really lucrative deals we have with them. Which I was like, what are you talking about? You know, this is all about money now? I mean, it's always about money.
Hello?
No, I know. I got that.
Were you saying this?
But no, I'm saying, isn't there no line? Because if there's no line, you know, if everything is always about the money, and then there's nothing you could do. There's nothing you could do except for, the only other thing you could do is bomb them. And try to kill them. That's the only other, what else can you do?
Yeah, well, you don't want to do that.
You know, I know you don't want to do that, but that's the only thing that you could do. So I think the oil situation, while oil is dropping, I think that Saudi Arabia is upping their pumping to appease the U.S. because Trump has been really all over them about the high price of oil.
Trump wanted.
Yes. So maybe this was a big plan to begin with.
Well,
to create
oil's at $66 right now. Mm-hmm. It's a plan that's working.
Yes. So kudos for that as well. The plans are all working. Everything that seems really weird obviously has a mastermind or a team of masterminds behind the whole thing.
Or who knows?
Yeah.
The dollar's also up. It's the $1.14 now in euros.
Yep. Euro was dropping, that Italy banks are having, just even though they agreed that they're going to stick to the budget of the EU, it's just things are just messy over there.
Yeah.
So a couple of things about the market, and we'll move on here. It appears that we're starting to reach an interim bottom. Now, do you know what an interim bottom is?
I have no idea. Is it like a mezzanine?
That is a terminology that's used so that I'm not too wrong. You can't get too wrong if I say interim bottom. If I said bottom, we're done. I got to stick to that, right?
This is kind of one of those. Bottom, yeah.
Yeah, this is one of these.
I'll pick that. I can begin to use that term.
It's an interim bottom, but no, seriously. It looks like we're getting closer to an oversold. Last week, when I mentioned we were oversold, we popped the next day. So we're not there yet because my indicators after that came back up to more of a bit of a more neutral stance, but it looks like we're probing all sorts of, and painfully probing, by the way, for all of you that are wondering about the cover art for today's show. It's about painfully probing.
Yes. I don't know. I question this art.
Oh, you do? Is it too?
I want to see something like that you're showing there. It's, I'm not going to describe it. I don't think we should. People are going to have to go to the website to see it.
Yep. But we're painfully probing key moving averages for major indices. So the SPY's at it's below its 200-day moving average. The Dow is about 100-day moving average. Q's 200, 6 to 8% off its high. The small caps are well below their 200-day moving average. However, there's some real decent support here. They were down like 2.5% today. They got to almost positive, and then backed off to about 0.5% down. They're 12% off. The VIX is now about 22, 23. So a lot of expectation of a higher volatility over the next 30 days. So anyway, I mentioned this whole idea of why this 2015-2016 analogs at play. Go over to the site and look at that. I'm not going to go through all that, but that's on there because there's something really interesting that we're going to get to in a minute. A couple things later this week. We got new home sales on Monday and Tuesday. Was very light economic news, or none in the U.S. And I was actually thinking it could be beneficial for markets, which didn't turn out really to be. But I thought it'd be beneficial because we don't have anything to worry about. You get too good of a number, it's like, okay, if you get a bad number, everybody freaks out. But we're starting.
They have no number.
They have no number, so nobody can really fetch about, you know, what it is.
Yeah, good point.
But tomorrow we're getting new home sales. They've been a bit weaker than expected. Durable goods orders on Thursday. We'll see what kind of impact tariffs will have on these longer, these goods that have lifespans of over 6 months. And then advanced GDP for quarter three on Friday. That will be very important, of course. Last quarter, we finished up and buttoned up the quarter at 4.2%. And expectations are about 3.5% for this quarter. A little bit lower, but still within the range. Oil we talked about there. All right. This is a really interesting story. Now, we got to talk about this. Back to buybacks, but in a different manner because I thought it was a really cool thing when I read this. So we put a chart up here, and it talks about the amount of buybacks and pension contributions between 2009 and 2017. It was put together by Danielle DiMartino Booth, who's a frequent guest on the Disciplined Investor podcast. We've had her on several times. And she compared a variety of companies, but five companies, and we could probably ask, well, just those companies, is that going to slant our results, right? Is that, are these the only guys, or is it, should I make something more out of this, or is this endemic of what's going on? So I don't know the answer to that.
Based on your thesis, it's endemic.
It's endemic, but at this level. So one of the things that we're showing here is, and I'll take you through this because you have to understand how this works, this chart. It's showing how much companies put inside their respective pension plans to meet their pension requirements as opposed to the amount of buybacks. Buybacks go to the shareholders, the owners of the company, and of course the higher-ups that own all the shares. Possibly some people in the pension, if maybe their 401ks have shares available through their 401ks, et cetera. But pension plans go to their employees. So the trickle down that was supposed to happen, what was supposed to happen? Supposed to get this tax cut, and it was going to trickle down to the economy. Employees will be making more money, you know, wage.
Yeah, everybody's going to be making out.
But what ended up happening? So this really cool chart here shows the five different companies, American Airlines, Boeing, GE, Lockheed Martin, and AT&T. And it shows their cumulative buybacks in the blue bar from 2009-2017. It's $1 billion in billions. And it shows in the yellow bars their cumulative pension contributions during the same period of time. Okay. And then it shows you a little red ball, a little dot of their underfunded pension amount. So in other words, they have 62. So American Airlines is 62% funded. So they're underfunded by 38%. See that?
Is that what this means? The 62.4 means that's how the percentage they are funded, not the shortfall?
Yeah, I read this because I read the article and it seemed that it should probably have said funded pension there. The word underfunded?
Yeah, it says underfunded.
Right, but it is underfunded pension, but it's 62% funded.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel better.
Yeah, that would be really ugly. But it does show an exceptional amount of the monies that were being used in terms of buybacks. I mean, you talk about, let's see, GE, bad move, by the way. $35 billion of share buybacks. You know, you're talking 28 or 29 billion for Boeing, where they only put in 10 billion for their pension.
Yeah.
So it's not trickling down. And moreover, these pensions have shortfalls. Why couldn't they fund their pension to be done with it?
I don't know.
I'm sure there's some accounting.
Ask the CEO. You should become a shareholder, one by one share, and go to the meeting and then scream and yell. AT&T puts nothing into their pension fund from the looks of it. You know, they're 76% funded.
Yeah, they only put in $5 billion versus $27 billion into buybacks. $27 billion in buybacks. That's extraordinary.
This is the beginning of the end.
But I just think that this paradox or this juxtaposition of the differential between the two here is just, it's so striking of what the money use is and who's making out on this deal. I mean, yes, if you're a shareholder at any level, hey, that's great. But at the same time, you're working your butt off for the company to do what you can to make them better and all that, you're getting screwed. So I don't want to hear any more of this BS about tax cuts that are going to be going down to the, you know, trickling down to the employees. I mean, we heard that big announcement that, you know, everybody's getting a $1,000 bonus, which is like a pimple on a rhino's ass. It was nothing.
No.
Yep.
I agree.
There was a great, I think things have been heating up in the, you know, ever since the couple of different times with CEOs that seem to have, they feel they could say what they want, like Elon Musk, you know, on the conference calls.
Yeah. Jokes on him.
So, and their earnings are tomorrow, by the way. Stock was up 14% today because, a known short seller, Citron Research, Andrew Left, he put the thumbs up on it ahead of earnings. And the stock was up 14%, up to like 290.
Did he cover his position?
He's long. Did I say short? He's long.
Oh, he went long. You said, yeah, no, he said short.
He's a short seller, but when he goes long, everybody's like, oh, a short seller's going long. It must be really good.
Short seller long. It's not like the title of a good book.
Well, what does he do though? He gets all this media attention. He gets some things when he says what he says, it drives the stock price down. Then you hear about it, you're like, what a genius. But meanwhile, he's kind of like trading ahead in a way.
Yeah, he's a front runner.
In a bit.
Using publicity.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about him. He's likely to be listening and then he'll sue us. He's that kind of guy.
Wow.
But here's what happened.
You're complimenting him.
Yes. Wonderful guy. Smart as a whip. He is. He's smart.
Apparently.
Yep, he is. So things are getting a bit hot under the collar in these conference calls. This is so great. So Cleveland Cliffs, what's called Cliff, you know, they're an industrial company. And in responding to a question by B. Riley analyst Lucas Pipes during the company's quarterly conference call, Goncalves, the CEO, he blasted a bunch of analysts, and one in particular, in their inability to read numbers.
I heard this one.
It's great, isn't it?
Yes.
He says, I quote here, he says, "You don't understand our business. You don't understand even your own business," he said. "You're a disaster. You're an embarrassment to your parents." He even said something like, "You should just commit suicide and be over with it."
I think he's Trump.
Yeah, he was unbelievable. And then he went on CNBC later in the day and didn't retract a bit of what he said. It had to do with the share count. Somebody was there was a disagreement in the share count outstanding, and therefore the earnings per share and the various ratios were out of whack. Home sales are declining. We saw that existing home sales slumped 3.4% in September as the annualized rate decelerates again at a rate not seen since 2005. It could be just a slowdown, a little slump. Could be interest rates. The National Association of Realtors chief economist Lawrence Yun, he projects a 1.6 reduction in sales for 2018. So, Census Bureau said that housing starts fell 5.3% last month, and building permits declined 0.6. So, no wonder why most of these home builders are in the toilet.
I guess.
Mm-hmm. Amazon becomes the second company to call to Bloomberg to retract the story that the company was a victim of China hardware cyber attacks, according to CNBC. So I think Who was the first? Apple was the first one. Now, Amazon's saying, hey, you wrote this all up, but it's not true. And that has to do with that stock we have.
Which one?
SIMC. We went in as palsy walsies on it.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah, yeah, of course. Yes, Supermicro or whatever they are. Yeah.
So
I kind of believe Amazon. I've never thought that's the reason we're long on this company.
Yeah. I mean, what Amazon could have it, what, in their servers? Maybe in their, could they have it in their Fire Sticks and Fire? I guess they could have it in those.
They don't have it in anything. This thing is a bogus story.
Who makes up these? Why? What? To what benefit does somebody make up these stories? Just to short the stock? Or is it to?
Let me think. If you're working that beat, you're probably running into people. There's a lot of people out there with crazy stories. Some of them might be true, but there's just a lot of storytellers out there, and especially in Silicon Valley. They tell you all kinds of crazy things that have, you know, it's just, I don't know. I don't know why they do it, but it's like, you can't imagine some of the stories I've heard, and you look into it or you wait. It's the worst place to get stock tips, let me tell you that.
I just don't understand. I just don't understand how I get it. I understand how stories get circulated around. Well, listen, on top of everything else, we've gone from a world where publishers were publishers, and that's where you got your information for the good or the bad of it, right? Now everybody with a computer is a publisher.
Yeah.
So there you go. Everybody on Twitter is an expert. I put a couple of, I'm getting a little frustrated with Twitter.
Why?
Between the people with their, you know, their things that, you know, me and you and me and you, me, wife, me, you know, and then they give was some stupid thing after that, or, you know, just these, I guess they're not memes, but they're these things they do. And everybody starts doing them. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be like if every single podcast all of a sudden started doing limericks. You know? It became like a thing.
Yeah, it could.
Yeah, it could. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to do
the. What those guys are doing is interesting. Let's copy them.
Yeah, we're going to do limericks. Hey, golf clap coming in, golf clap. Big pick from John last week on his Gravity. Stock was up like 65%. You were stopped out because it moved so much.
I'm going to whipsaw. Stopped out. I still have 30%, 38% gain.
I don't know, whatever the number is. Yeah, so the thing is that I tried to see what – I tried to play one round with the stop to see what level it had to be to really kind of get a lot of it. There was nothing. I put like 15% on, 20, 25, put 50% on. There was no difference because it moves so dramatically. Mm. You'd probably have to put like no stop on, obviously. So that was pretty big. Hopefully somebody picked up on that. That was the Gravity. And we have some additional earnings to watch in the coming days. We have AMD coming out tomorrow. Tomorrow. And it's for the game, which you did not pick a price for and you can't do it.
I couldn't do it.
Yep. So AMD is coming out. We have Las Vegas Sands. I don't know if you've looked at like Wynn in Las Vegas Sands, particularly Wynn. Oh, man, that's ugly. It was like 180. It's like 110. Meritage Homes. We'll see what one of the remaining home builders comes out with. Visa will come out. See what the state of the consumer is. I've decided that in the future, I want to be a mobile ATM machine. I went to one of these seafood festivals this weekend, and my son goes, "You want to go?" I'm like, "Not really."
What was the festival? Tell us again.
It was the Miami Seafood Festival down in Key Biscayne.
A seafood festival.
Yeah, like you know, it's the opening of stone crab season, so you get stone crabs and you got
delicious.
You know, cracked conch, and there's all these food trucks there and all this stuff going on. So I go in, and first of all, beers are $8 a piece plus a mandatory tax plus a mandatory 18%.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. A beer, $8, plus a mandatory tax of 7%, of course, plus a mandatory 18% gratuity.
For what?
For a beer.
A beer?
Yeah, beer. That was a little
rough. Sounds like a chip.
Yep. We go in, and they get me for $20 to park. And it's a festival, like a fair. You know, you just go in and walk around. You buy stuff and whatever, right? They charged me. They tried to get me for $15 a person to get in. I said, I'm not having any of this crap because I saw it online for $12. So then I look any further and like, nope, can't get online. Nope, nope, nope. So some guy finally whispers to me, get it on Groupon. So I got four of us for $22 total instead of paying 60.
Good.
But anyway, the stuff was pretty expensive. It was.
Sounds like a thing to avoid.
Yeah. Anyway. And then, so I said, all right, you know, let's just get one plate. We'll share it of like coconut shrimp and some other thing they were doing. I go, is that fresh right there? Cause there was a little bit of a pile of them. He goes, yeah. So he gives it to me. I taste it. I'm like, dude, this is cold and soggy. He goes, all right, I'll fix it up. He takes it and he throws already been fried and now cold shrimp into the fryer. Takes it out and gives it to me on a plate. It's like a pile of oil for $25. Well, you know, I give it back to him. I said, I'm not having any of this, my friend. He's like, you don't want it? It looks delicious. I'm like, no, I don't want it. It's terrible. But, yep, stay away from those seafood festivals.
Well, a lot of these festivals are just horrible like that. No wonder. I mean, it shouldn't cost anything to go to one, for starters. Mm-hmm. Except because you're going to be spending money there. I mean, isn't that the idea? You bring all these people in there.
Yeah.
The vendors are the ones who pay for their spots so they can get all these people to buy stuff from them.
Yep.
Why are you paying to buy? Why do you pay to buy something? This is ridiculous. Yeah. It's like an overhead. It's nonsense.
Well, it's like today Hamilton tickets went on sale and we got this special secret, very upside down, backward way in to get these tickets. So my wife's like, let's buy some. I'm like, oh, okay. So she got some special code because of, I don't know, some verified fan deal. I put it in. Okay, how many tickets would you like at $492 a piece? I'm like, what? How much? $492 a piece plus a $35 service charge plus an $8 facility charge. $35 service charge per ticket.
The ticket should be $35.
$35. I wrote back to my wife. She's texting me. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to do this. She goes, we'll sell it. We'll make money. I'm like, I'm not going to even do this. This seems like the worst investment ever. Anyway. But we do have Visa, Brunswick, Sherwin-Williams, Amazon, and Microsoft coming out. So it should be a lot of fun. Pot stocks getting smoked.
Yeah.
Burning down the house. Up in flames. Yeah, they're really getting hurt pretty bad. Came back a little bit today, but
good. It's a buying opportunity.
Yeah, Tilray's like as a matter of fact, I have a name that you probably haven't seen that is related to pot on the game this week.
Okay.
If you would do so kindly, yes, to donate, because we have to buy another batch of T-shirts. And there was something else that I had to buy for some reason. There's something else going on. Anyway, if you want to donate to the show, please do so. Go over to DH Unplugged and type in a few numbers, starting with probably 250, and then whatever else you want to put after that is fine. If you want to buy a T-shirt, episode number 428, just simply pay $428. It's not much. It's the cost of less than the cost of a Hamilton ticket, and there's no service charge. How's that?
And you get a shirt.
Yeah, no service. You know what? Let's waive the service charges. What do you think?
Yeah, fine.
So if you want to donate $428, if you've gotten years worth of just total enjoyment, if you feel like you're just, good friends on Tuesdays and you want to help out the cause, we can use it. Seriously, it's pretty important. So if you can donate whatever you can, but if you want a shirt, John and I will sign it and we'll send it to you directly with the show number on it. It's a collector's item. We're only going to do it through the end of the year. There will not be any price reduction, by the way. It's only going up. The only other way to win a shirt is from the Close to the Pin competition. And let's see who's winning. Let's see who's winning. Right now we have for AMD. Let's see here. AMD price is $25.09. The Close to the Pin so far is John J. at 2 cents away. Sean sees 8 cents, Daniel E. But that won't be the case.
When their earnings come out, that stock's going to move one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. The average estimate right now for everybody is $26.14.
Hmm.
Not too far off. You want 3% off?
Yeah, it's not too bad.
I'm 5.6% off. So let's see how this plays. I was looking at the chart of AMD tonight. It is like a perfect head and shoulder, double top. There's like all sorts of patterns in there that's looking back on it could be used in textbooks.
Wow. So what do you have? What's your number?
My number is 2650.
It's already below that. You got a head and shoulders, you're saying.
Right, but it qualified the head and shoulder already. So I'm just looking to get back to the top, to the shoulder height.
Shoulder width. You're not back to the second shoulder hasn't fully formed?
It's formed, but I think it's going to bounce from here. It looks like so when you take the shoulders and the heads, you take the head to the neckline, take that amount and subtract it from the neckline, and that's what you get the possible move lower. And that is right where we are today. It's okay. Stuck on there. It sat there yesterday too. So.
Looks like it's going to fall off a cliff.
Yeah. All right. What else we got? Tesla earnings tomorrow. I mentioned that. This whole Facebook shenanigans.
Now what?
Well, now their WhatsApp has become a political battleground in Brazil. This whole election thing has gone just off the deep end on the on Facebook and on WhatsApp, and now Facebook is now touting their record and their effort to crack down on all this misinformation, this incredible amounts of fake news and conspiracy theories and just all sorts of wacko stuff on WhatsApp and in Facebook. And
it's a good time to be alive.
I just, how much more can people take?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't understand it. Is this something that really has longevity at what's happening? Because of the bots, because of the paid individuals that are going in there for political and other reasons that may be nefarious. I just don't understand what how this is going to have legs going forward. I just don't understand.
People love this stuff.
They love seeing their babies. The young people aren't using this anymore. Ask your kids if they're using Facebook.
No, I don't think they do.
I mean, they have an account.
Yeah.
They go on once in a while.
Facebook's I don't know. It's a good mechanism for advertising. I'll tell you that much.
I just don't see it with the ability of phones and how you could talk to multiple people and multi-chats and, share things on, Instagram, of course, if you want to do that. And it's a good repository of historical pictures, and information and, getting in touch with your high school friends and who died and whose birthday it is. That's great. But it seems to me that in its current form with what they're doing and how the company is getting such a bad rap because they did allow a lot of this to happen, but they couldn't do anything about it. I don't think there's anything they could do about it. Do you?
No, they weren't equipped to deal with it. That's the problem.
Are they ever, and can they ever be?
No, they don't have enough people.
I mean, they'd have to have somebody looking at, they'd have to have almost a draft pending approval process for everything.
Yeah, and that wouldn't work because it would take forever because there's too many people on the site. I don't know.
Well, what's your, if you were to look from here out, generally speaking, from here out, in terms of two things, the uses and popularity of Facebook and the earnings potential.
I hate to say it, but I think it'll stabilize after they do. I don't know how they're going to deal with the crap that's on there. I think the earnings potential is quite high if people understand how to advertise on the thing with targeted ads.
But a lot of companies are already pulling back. And don't you think that this
I think they're making a mistake.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think they're pulling back for the simple reason that the image or it seems toxic. And, I don't want to advertise there because the Russian trolls advertise there. I think they're making a mistake.
Maybe it's the competition. I don't know who that is, but the competition.
There's no competition.
No competition. So. This crackpot theory doesn't work.
It's a monopoly.
Yeah, it's a monopoly on your eyeballs. Well, the other thing is that they had some also there was a report last week on they were pushing videos and showing how much more user interaction and how much more efficient videos were for advertising. You know, they talked about how the engagement levels. More. Yeah, the engagement levels were so much higher and blah, 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 blah. You know, use all this stuff. And it sounded reasonable, but supposedly they were providing bogus information.
They can't do that if they're going to try to make this thing to be an important advertising platform. They have to be really careful about this. This could be a blunder. You cannot do bogus information on, you know, this is like the magazines that used to lie about their circulation. Oh, they always get caught.
My wife worked for a magazine and they bragged about having 10,000 in a little town, 10,000 circulation. Well, meanwhile, I was right in the heart of the town. I never got the thing. You know, my office never got it. I never got it at the house. Friends never got it. They're like, I don't know. Oh, yep. You're there. Look, your zip code's right in there. I'm like, I never got it.
10,000 circulation and they only print 2,000 copies.
Yep, exactly.
But anything's possible.
Yep.
Pass along.
Yep. And finally, on a sad note, the Indianapolis Zoo said a lion has died in a fight with another lion. The zoo said Friday that the adult female attacked the 10-year-old male who they've had babies with and stuff. They've had cubs and killed him. That's terrible.
She must have been pissed off about something.
Yeah. Probably watching too much football or something. All right. So the big question of the day, of course, is what haven't you written for PC Magazine this week? What are you doing with these things?
I'm not doing anything with them. I've got other things to do. I didn't have a column this week. I mean, I don't have a fake column this week.
Ah, well, that's boring.
Well, I'll try to come up with something next week.
Yeah. All right. Let's get over to the game that we have here. I just want to see if there's anything else I want to talk about here. Oh, by the way, if you want to listen to The Disciplined Investor last week, my podcast that we do each and every Sunday that's released, I kind of went off on the whole idea of lazy advisors recommending only ETFs and not doing the work. I was thinking about ETFs as, you know, they're cheaper, they're easier to use, they trade throughout the day, there's more transparency. I started thinking about how the other side of that is that if you don't use ETFs, it's a lot more work to understand what the managers are doing, do the research. And I thought that there was a lazy component involved in this.
I agree with you.
Oh, there you go. So I talked about it on The Disciplined Investor, and I have this report that I'm just finishing up all the little biddies on it. Should be out tomorrow on the actual numbers, a very deep dive into the performance and statistical analysis with risk and reward of the various sectors of fixed income and what comes out on top on a historical basis between passive and active investing. And I think everybody will be pretty surprised with this. It's on the fixed income side. So pretty deep, pretty, you know, heady report, but has lots of pretty charts. Always important. Anyway, this is a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy, sell any securities, not a recommendation of any sort, any kind whatsoever. John C. Dvorak, myself, Horowitz Company clients may have any of the various names involved here. We may own those. We will duly note those. Also, we have usually a 10% stop or something that that we'll talk about, automatically a trailing stop on here. But again, if it's to decide, hey, you know what? That's a great idea. I love that stock. Great idea. Do your homework yourself. Go see professional financial advice. We're not responsible for it. And with that, why don't you go through the very yellow, gold-hued colored.
Yeah, everything got kicked out because of the nature of the market kind of bouncing around in a peculiar manner. But Apple, the Apple buy is still on in play.
I need to say something about that. It's important. Yeah. That was off the list last week, incorrectly.
Oh, so you put it back on?
Yes.
Ah.
Sorry.
Well, it was one of my picks. Mm-hmm. I forgot what the thesis was, something to do with China. I long since forgot.
Yep.
So long ago, but it's up 19%. Generac Holdings, your favorite, got bounced.
Yep.
But you finished with 9-10% gain. Next Innovation Common Stock, which is an insider's thing, which got bounced as a cheapie. It's pretty much dead money, but I don't have it anymore. The one that's still on here, which is one of my all-time favorites, which is Walgreens Boots Alliance, still moving, up 17.5%.
The last time you put that stock on the list, it was on forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't really doesn't take these big dips.
Yeah.
Your short of muni bonds is still going strong with 11.8%, almost 12%, and that's still on. The rest of these, many of these are off. Supermicro still on, which is our joint pick, which is, we've never failed on a joint pick. I should mention that to people who are watching this game. And it's up 13.3%. And then I got, oh, well, look at this one. It got kicked off, but it was only on for one show.
Let me just look this up. I'm going to look up.
Which is Gravity, GR Gravy, when it ended up with 38% gain in 1 week. As high as 60%, I understand. The other stuff, U.S. Silica Holdings, Associated Bank, a lot of these things have just been kicked off. I'm stunned by the U.S. Silica Holdings.
That's not right. I'm correcting it right now. You are – let me see what you're kicked out at.
U.S. Silica Holdings?
1939. Hang on. Entry 19 – I'm just correcting the number here. That doesn't look right either. U.S. Silica Holdings, right? You kicked off. So you bought it at 1939, and you ended at 1874.
Well,
1939. Okay, so yeah, you're only off 3%.
Oh, okay. Well, there's something wrong there.
Yep, I corrected it.
And then you've got a couple of new ones. I have one. I only have one, and it's kind of this is, I would say, the, if you're going to put the rationale, a thesis, voodoo.
Oh, voodoo. Like voodoo economics.
And this is because the transit center in San Francisco has been finished like months ago, and then it started cracking and falling apart. They can't seem to fix it. It's supposed to have been back online a week or two ago. It's still falling apart. They don't know what's wrong. It's just the steel beams are cracking and breaking. And the voodoo part is called the Salesforce Metro Center or something like that. I'm shorting Salesforce.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. CRM is the symbol on that one.
Yeah, and standing for
crappy something. What is
it? No, it's the relationship, customer relationship management.
Yeah. All right, let's put that here. So I'm picking up, I'm not exactly sure how to say this, but Pixis International. Now, this was an old company. They changed their name. Pixis, you may remember the name, was Alliance One. It was a company from like back in early 1900s, sell tobacco, you know, cigarettes and stuff. Or at least the products for it, I should say. They're switching over to marijuana or doing a lot with that. So they have the whole infrastructure, you know, built already. So you may eventually go get some of the products that they're using to get high with. So that was interesting. That stock came up pretty high, dropped recently on some nice support. The name is getting a lot of action. I see a lot of murmurs around from some of the traders.
Did you put it on our pot list?
I don't know if it's on the pot list. I'd have to check that. I'll have to check that. And then I also picked up Tandem Diabetes, which is a stock that we've held for some time. This thing has run up dramatically, very volatile, but they have a lot of really cool stuff for this horrible disease of diabetes, insulin-dependent diabetes, and sensors and machines that will actually provide the insulin, like an insulin pump, and that it works on your phone and talks to it. And you know if you're, you know, where you are with it, so you don't have to poke your finger. And there's really cool stuff they have. So I'm putting Tandem Diabetes, symbol TNDM, on the list as well.
Okay.
Just a reminder, calling out, I don't know if we talked about this, but anybody that wants to do a best of, help us out with a best of, we'll make sure you're taken care of for the end of the year. Best of DH Unplugged for 2018, if you have the abilities, desires, wants to.
Any producers out there?
Yep.
Put producers. It
together. Producers?
Yeah, it won't take much.
Nope. All right, then we're rubbing up against
you could do it. We could do a best of and have the whole show of limericks.
Oh, best of limericks. Wow. That's powerful. You're going to take over the entire that's going to turn the podcasting world on its head.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
Very easy to do.
Yep. Now, if somebody wants to do that for us, just contact me. You can find us everywhere. Or just go to our website, dhemail@gmail.com. dhemail@gmail.com. That will get it to us. And we'd love for you to do it. We could use the help. All right. With that, I'm going to say adios.
Okay. Talk to you next Tuesday.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.